I need you. We are recording with no background music. Somebody will get offended about that for sure. Didn't run that past the board. Eh? Pop it on anyway. Fellowship with you in the spirit, in the things of the spirit. See, the Lord's a spirit. He's not here in this human body. If you want to talk to God, you need to talk to him in the spirit, because he's a spirit, right? You can't get him here in the natural, and so there's no point discipling people in the natural ways, because they will never get it, because they always think they get it and they know everything, and you can't teach them a goddamn thing because they know everything. And they miss the things of the spirit. Now, I don't teach my kids anything about Jesus. I just let him discipline them constantly until they learn for themselves. Because I can tell them everything about my experiences. It's not going to mean diddly squat for them, because they don't get it. They got to go through some stuff, you know? They got to learn for themselves. They got the spirit of God. It's already inside of them. I've just got to trust him to disciple them. I don't want to have to control them and tell them what to think and what to do. You know, I've done that. Tried to teach them, you know, the Hail Marys at one point, and then try to take them through every other ritual that religious Christians do with their children. Excuse me! But it's impossible to teach them, because you can only show them. You can only let them experience God for themselves, because their discipleship is going to be completely different to what he's going to disciple others in. So you can't compare it. All you can do is drink the Holy Spirit so much that you're completely overflowing and always full, that you're full of nothing else but God himself, and that is always pouring out upon them. So they're constantly in the fire of God, and it's constantly burning off the things of this world off their lives spiritually. It's discipleship in the spirit. So your spirit disciples them. Get that? That's the truth. But if you're constantly distracted with Babylon and the church buildings, you know, he says you are a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is God himself. And in you I live and I move and I have my being, Jesus says, right? He's inside of us. We are the church. We're going to churches these days. The Christians are going to churches, but there's no discipleship of the things of the Spirit. The Spirit isn't discipling your spirit. And they're missing out on the heavenly goodness, because it's not hard. It's not a complicated walk. It's just an obedient walk to his spirit. And he will tell you to do things over and over again things that'll offend people continuously so it can reveal their heart. Not for any other reason, but just so their heart can be revealed, so they can get discipled and they can grow and mature. And that's just the love of God, and that's what he uses his people to do. And it's a glorious thing, because he says, you'll be persecuted and ridiculed and all those things. But they did it to me and they're going to do it to you, because why? You bring the truth and they're in darkness, and the truth comes and it offends the dark out of them, or it offends the lie in them. And that lie goes running with its tails between its legs, and it comes back later and it realizes you were right and they were wrong, and then they repent and then they get into the glory and they grow. Yay. And then we have a spiritual church, a mature church. But who's going to do that from a pulpit, you right? You're doing that from a pulpit and you're going to offend like your entire church. You're not going to have anybody in your seats, and you've just paid how many thousands of dollars to get them all there? That's not going to go down very well with the board, is it? So you can't say too much that's going to offend the religious spirit in them, because if you do that, you've got a lot to answer to and you might lose your position or your ordainership. You can clearly see I don't have that certificate from whoever ordained you, right? You've got to sign off on all these constitutions and all these people's religious babble crap and sign your life over and say that's what I agree to when you come through ordainership. That's the truth. Anyway, 13:4-8, let's read it. 13:4-8, he says, marriage is honourable. Marriage is honourable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers will judge. God will judge. Not you, God judges them, right? Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, and those whose faith follow. Considering the outcome of their conduct, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. For it is good that the heart be established by grace and not with foods, right? Not with foods. Not with foods, which have not profited those of who have been occupied with them. We didn't want that bit anyway. I'll tell you what bit we wanted. I'll read it in the Amplified because I have it. Oopsie. That's healing meal recording. Hebrews 13. Should I read the Bible? I'm not going to read the Bible anymore. This is it. Let marriage be held in honor. This is what he's telling me this morning. Let marriage be held in honor. It's deemed worthy, precious, of great price, and especially dear in all things. By human hands, as the prophets say, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or where will my resting place be? You know, it says, where I'll go everywhere, and there's no place for the Son of Man to rest his head. Where is the Son of Man going to rest his head? In you. That's where he rests. That's the building. You're the building. And he builds it. You're like clay in the potter's hands. And he builds you to how he wants you to be, for him to rest in you and be God through you. We're the lords of the earth. He's the Lord of heaven, the Lord of lords, and we're the lords of the earth, bringing the glory into this earthly realm. And it delivers everything in the earth realm into the glory realm, which is you and everybody around you, and the whole city is delivered. Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Can you build me a temple as good as that? Did you hear that? Heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. Can you build me a temple as good as that? Do you get that? He's saying, you're building these churches, you're building all these buildings. Well, look what I built. I've built the heavens and the earth, and the heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Can you build it bigger than that? It doesn't get any bigger than that. He's already done it, and now he fills himself inside of us, and now we advance the kingdom mightily by the glory, by the Spirit. Right? He builds Spirit. If the Spirit doesn't build the house, the labor's labor in vain. So you need a spiritual building before you come into any other building, you know? And this is it. This is the spiritual discipleship that grows us up spiritually to be mature Christians, and we go on and we change the world by our maturity in Christ. Has not my hands made all these things? You stiff-necked people, your hearts and your ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Why do you resist the Holy Spirit? Why do you not believe the Word of God? When the Word of God's already telling you that the Spirit of God has already been placed inside of your temple, and now you have all things already, why do you resist Him? Why do you not yield to that Holy Spirit and just be drunk and happy and joyful in the things of God inside of Him? Why are we still searching out here for a God when God's already coming to us, into our bodies, and now we are the building of God? Everywhere you go, you are the building of God. No more. I don't dwell in those buildings. I don't dwell in those buildings. I dwell in people. And you go to those buildings so you can drink off those people, or you carry him in there. You don't get it from the building. They're in the people. They're in the people. He's in the people. God is in the people. His church is a spiritual church. Heavenly Jerusalem is a city on a hill. Mount Zion, city Jerusalem. We are heavenly Jerusalem. Jews, born again Jewish Christians. We're Jews, born of the Jewish man himself, the Messiah. It's made us Jewish people. We are the Jews, the real Jews, the real sons and daughters, the heavenly kings and priests in the order of Melchizedek, who rule and reign with Christ from the heavenly realm. And our ruling and reigning comes by the Spirit, and it's performed on all the earth. All hearts are revealed, all lies, all deceit, all darkness and wickedness comes to the surface, because that's what the light does. It shines in dark places and it exposes what's not of God. It exposes all the darkness, so then it can be washed away and removed and replaced with the light. So that darkness can come into the light, or it shrinks back and it tries to hide in more darkness. Do you understand that's what happens? When the light comes and it exposes the darkness will either be very bold and say, oh, I'm in darkness, I can see now, and it will come into the light. Or it will stop. Or it will shrink back and it will try to find more dark that it can hide in, so it's comfortable. And there's no other way to do it. They're either going to come in or they're going to shrink back and go and try and find some more darkness. And do you know what happens? They go into deeper darkness. But God's a good God, and He will always come around with more light to expose. He will always come and pour His light on that darkness to always give them a chance to repent and to come into the kingdom and to join us here in heavenly Jerusalem, where our minds are free from lies. We no longer live in a lie. We're no longer fathered by the father of lies. We're fathered by the father of truth. the Spirit of Truth who dwells inside of us and has taken possession of our bodies, filled us with light, filled us with truth. No longer are we stuck in the sin nature, or stuck in that way where we're always like filled with all those deceptions and the delusion of darkness. We fill ourselves with light because we love the light. We love the truth and we feast on that. We're married to the King, and in our heavenly beds, we're not adulterers. We're not fornicators. We're not sexually immoral people. We're the true people of God who have been purified in light, who come with fire and glory, and we bring the revelation of Jesus upon these people's souls, whether they like it or not. And then they have a choice if they want to join the light or if they want to go and find something more dark to get themselves into to cover it. Because once that darkness is exposed, it can't be unexposed. It's already exposed. They've got to go and find something even worse to get themselves into so they can stay in darkness, which is just a sad sight to see, you know? But it's the truth, and that's what's happening. The Spirit's poured upon all flesh, and everybody is drinking in the Spirit, and it will be revealed to you. That's why so many people struggle with all these anxieties and mental illnesses and problems, because the light's pouring onto them and they're trying to hold onto their dark, sinful nature instead of letting it go. And as soon as you let it go, you're free. The truth comes, which is light, which is the Spirit of light. It pours on you, right? And all of a sudden, you can be freed if you want to be. But it's like if somebody comes in and they open up the prison door and they say, hey, mate, you've been living like in a dungeon for so long. And you're like, oh, really? I thought it was okay. Like everything seems okay. It's clean and stuff. But the truth is the heart's revealed. And so they have to let go of everything like they've always held on to come into the light. But it's glorious. It's a good thing. It's where everyone wants to be. But only the bold and the courageous come forth in this stuff. Only the bold and the very courageous people who really will want transformation, who really do want the King of Glory, who really do want the light, who really do want to live righteously, righteous people of God. You know, the people of God are righteous. They've been made white, they've been made like purified like snow and made righteous in the sight of the Father. And so they live in righteousness continuously. There is no wrong in righteousness. You know, and things will always try to come to try to tempt you, to pull you back in. But the Lord's your protector, and he will always come as your vengeance. He will always come as your avenger, and he will come and he will push in, and he will make sure that that sinful nature never comes back, like that nothing can distract you. He will expose it quickly so you can see what's trying to tempt you and take you back in. So those who like the light will come back to the light. So it's just a matter of how much you drink. It's never about how good you are, because there's no good in anybody down here. The only good one is Jesus, right? The Lord himself. And some people yield to that righteousness more than others. So everybody's constantly tempted. Everybody's constantly trying to be distracted and pulled back in. You know, he'll send someone. Satan uses people all the time. They're either bringing in the will of Satan or bringing in the will of God, you know? And those people that don't yield to the will of God, yield to another will. And they're always used like puppets of Satan, trying to distract or trick or deceive, right? And they all try to come around and try and get the people of God off track. And they will always do it. And the Lord comes as your avenger. He comes as your deliverer. He comes as your protector. And he comes in with power and might. And he exposes those deceptive people in your life so you can see them, so you know what's going on, so you can't be tempted or tricked back into a dark living way of sin. You know, when people sin, they sin against you as well. They think they're not sinning and they're not hurting other people, but they're hurting you too, because they're making you sin with them, even though you're not the one doing it. They're involving you in it, and they try to lie and manipulate to get you out, like to get themselves out of it. But they've created this sin lie, and they're trying to, and they bring you into it even though they don't mean to, right? And now you're sinning at the same time, which exposes you to the lies and the demonic and the darkness of the enemy. You know, so there a lot of people will say, oh, we're not hurting anyone, just leave me alone in my sin. No, you're affecting the whole goddamn world. Get out of it, live in the light, so everybody can be free. But who's going to be bold? Who's going to be courageous? Who's going to walk like glory beings into the light? Every time that light comes and exposes the darkness and the wickedness, you see it and you go, oh my God, I've been caught out. I'm in darkness. I'm coming to the light. And you come in because that's an invitation to glory, right? So there's a humbling that happens in that darkness, and that exposure of darkness. And then there's a promotion that happens directly after it because you come into the light. As soon as that humbling happens, when the light comes, it humbles you because the darkness is exposed. You see it. A very courageous and bold person walks forth into the very light that just saved them or freed them or exposed them to that. And they walk in it and they get promoted into the glory. They get promoted into heaven. They get promoted into destiny. They get promoted into the ways of God. They get promoted into the goodness of the way of the Lord. It's a promotion that comes always after humbling. It's a fabulous way he does it. Who comes forth and takes that promotion, or who goes back and tries to hide in more deeper darkness and has to wait and wait and wait, you know? Are they ever gonna, you know why they go back? The only ones that ever shrink back and go back into deeper darkness are those full of pride who can never admit the things they've done wrong, or who would never take our responsibility for the things they've done, those who want to blame everyone, the victim mentality. It's all pride. I mean, it all comes down to pride in one bottle. You can put it all in there. It's pride. And once that pride is exposed, that's when you have to swallow your pride and come into the light, or you will go into deeper darkness. And you know what happens? That deeper darkness gets darker and darker and darker. It doesn't get lighter down there. It gets darker and darker. But the invitation of the Lord's always at hand, and his light's always coming forth through his people, and there's always an open hand invitation to come on in and to get filled with light and glory and just to worship the light and the truth, because it's a beautiful thing. That's the true marriage covenant. You want to be married to truth. You want to be married to the kingdom. You want to advance the kingdom that goes on for eternity. That's an eternal kingdom. You don't want to be partnering with the kingdom that's fading away, a kingdom of darkness that doesn't stay on. You partner with the eternal kingdom, the eternal realm that never dies, which means you never die, which means you have an eternal inheritance. The thing you're building now in partnership with the glory means that lives forever, and it's a continuous thing that you will always be doing. So over here is the same darkness. No, it's not the same. They're separate. All right? Thank you very much. No. Holy Spirit. Some people are just so arrogant sometimes, you know, like they just force themselves on you, like they have absolutely no respect for other people's space and other people's decisions and what other people are doing. They just expect you stop what you're doing in your life and answer to me immediately, because here I am and I want to know right this second, even if it means I'm interrupting the very thing God's got you doing at that second. You know, that's a son, that's not a son of, what son's that? A son of God? It's an unrenewed mind that works in a human nature. It's a selfish orphan spirit that expects me, and doesn't understand the King of Glory, doesn't understand the spirit of adoption that brings them in, and it fathers everybody the same. The same yesterday, today, and forever. It's the Father of Glory fathering his children in the exact same way. There is no difference. He's the same Father. He doesn't change, and everyone's fathered the same way. And that's why we come into that. We drink and we feed off the spirit, off that marriage supper of the Lamb. So our minds are renewed. So we are living like mature ones and not immature babies who don't get their own way and act like little orphans and start kicking and screaming and having a little tantrum because things didn't go their way today. You know, an orphan spirit does that because it doesn't understand how their dad provides for them, or how their dad calls people, or how their dad instructs people, how their dad makes them do things that doesn't look right to other people, but still that son of God or that daughter of God will stand and do the very thing that he's called them to do, regardless of people's opinions, regardless of what people think. Even when that person who's been called to do something doesn't even understand why they've been asked to do it, but in their own obedience to their father's voice, they say yes anyway. They don't say, "Dad, why? Why do I have to do this?" Or even if they do say that and he doesn't give a response, they still do it because they trust him, because his throne is in heaven and his feet are on the earth, which means he sees all things and knows all things. He knows better than the human mind. He knows better than this spirit that's only grown up so far and so much. We trust him in all things and we continuously say yes to him, no matter what. We don't even understand why we're doing some things half the time. We always find that stuff out later. But an orphan spirit wants to know why, and they want to know it now. Tell me now, why? And I don't have the answer for you because I'm adopted to heaven and my father hasn't told me why. He's just told me to do it. So I've done it. And later he may not reveal to me why he asked me to do that. And I don't care because I'm not attached to that. I'm not attached to why I'm doing things. I'm attached to him. I'm one with his spirit. And in complete obedience and yes, 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 the whole entire way. It's a continuous yes. It doesn't ever come to a meeting with 15 other people. It comes to him and him alone. He's my covering. He's the Father. His church is in the people. He's who we talk. He is who we listen to. His kingdom is what we advance. We don't advance anybody else's kingdom, which means we don't advance anybody else's opinion or their thoughts or their ideas, especially if they're antichrist. I mean, you'll be listening to a devil. I mean, you don't do that. You love them. You love them, but you don't listen to them. their intentions are for themselves. They're self-conscious. They're self-willing. They're selfish. It's all about advancing their own personal agenda. God's agenda is much bigger, and it's for all of humanity. So our obedience is to his word and his voice and doing what he asks you to do in that particular moment, regardless of what people around you are doing and saying and thinking and being. And that's how you walk with him. That's how we advance the kingdom, right? Amen? I just realized this is on the built-in microphone, so hopefully that is been okay. Oh no. Anyway, in Jesus' name, we'll leave it there. Have a good day, and I'll speak to you.